How great is it to listen to all these promos right now? You're on Twitter, you're listening on 710 ESPN, you're watching stuff on TV, and the Lakers are the 2020 NBA champions in a season where nobody can certainly, you know, obviously guess anything like this was going to happen. It's happening in this Orlando bubble. The Lakers certainly, behind LeBron James and Anthony Davis, help get championship number 17. You are listening to KSPN Los Angeles, home of your NBA world champions, Los Angeles Lakers. I can get used to saying that. I want to welcome in one of the greats, one of my favorite Lakers color commentators. He's been the Lakers color commentator since 1987, Stu Lance. Stu, thank you for doing this, my man. I just want to, I appreciate, you know, certainly getting your thoughts, your reaction to this Los Angeles Lakers championship.
Well, I don't have much of a voice left after all that screaming and hollering we were doing during the course of the game, but it was remarkable. Again, the 17th championship for the city of Los Angeles, that's remarkable in itself, but to do it this year makes all the other 16 pale by comparison, just because of all of the obstacles that the Laker team and organization had to endure when starting out with Kobe and pandemic, social unrest. I mean, this just has been remarkable. And again, for them to win the championship, it couldn't have ended any better.
Stu, are you surprised that we got to this point when the idea and the concept was first floated out that the NBA was going to take this concept to this Orlando bubble and 22 teams were going to be there? Did you think we'd get here? And really, it was as flawless as can be from a health perspective standpoint.
That's what had me concerned from the very beginning, was just the fact that the idea sounded really, really good, but implementing that idea I thought was going to be very, very difficult. Obviously, it was difficult, but more obvious is the fact that the commissioner and the rest of the NBA front office, and in coordination with all of the teams, they got it done. I mean, to have all of those players in a bubble for 90-plus days and not get one positive test, That says a lot. That says an awful lot. So congratulations to Adam Silver and the rest of the NBA office for pulling off what many of us thought was going to be very difficult.
Stu Lance, the legend, the great Stu Lance, joining us on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show here on 710 ESPN. Stu, I'll kind of just to look at on the court what the Lakers were able to accomplish. You know, I thought there are two players that come to mind that I was just really happy for to win an NBA championship. And don't get me wrong, I'll talk with you about LeBron and Anthony Davis, but Rajon Rondo and Dwight Howard, and I thought both of them had such interesting storylines this year. And Rajon Rondo coming back from injury, and the playoff Rondo nickname that he's had, and then you got Dwight Howard, who was asked to play a role that he's never played all season. Rob Pelinka took a chance on him, bringing him into this organization. Can you talk about two vets like that? One of them who had a championship, certainly with the Boston Celtics, and Dwight Howard hasn't been to the NBA Finals since he lost to the Lakers in 2009. How important is it to have those type of players on your roster, number one? And number two, just your thoughts on their impact this season.
Well, I thought both of them had a very large impact on the team and on the season overall. Dwight, I mean, before he joined the Lakers this second time, I really didn't think he would be in a position to ever taste an NBA championship again. I really thought other teams were a little bit leery of signing him because the way the game had changed from throw the ball into the post most of the time and work inside out to the way it is today where everything is perimeter-oriented, I just didn't think they would take the chance on his discontent with that kind of a system. But give him credit. He understood that the game has changed. He had to change, and he did. He brought energy each and every time that Frank Vogel asked him to go into the game. When he wasn't in the game, he cheerleaded for his teammates. It really was quite a change for what the Lakers fans had remembered Dwight on his previous trip to Los Angeles. But I say congratulations to Dwight for not only winning the championship, but for kind of reinventing himself and understanding where it is in his career and what he needed to do to taste that victory. And as far as Rondo goes, I mean, obviously Rondo had tasted the championship before. You talk about LeBron being a leader. Rondo's a leader. I mean, this guy, to have him be able to come in off your bench and run the show and give some of the rest to LeBron you just can't measure that. Every player on that team respected Rondo and his verbiage about what to do and when to do it, not only because he had been there, done that, but because they understood that he knew what he was talking about. He just wasn't out there just spilling stuff from the mouth. He was telling you what it took to be successful. So, again, congratulations to both those guys, and hopefully they can experience it yet again.
Stu, when you're watching tonight's game, and Lakers were coming off that loss in Game 5, by the end of the first quarter, Lakers were up 8, and then really by the time you're midway through the second quarter, Lakers looked like they had complete control of the game. Their defense was just unbelievable. I think they gave up 36 points in the first half. Did this just seem like a championship roster? They tasted it. They felt it. They were upset that they lost Game 5. Did it just look like there was no way the Lakers were walking out of Orlando tonight, staying any longer, and certainly without grabbing championship number 17?
Yeah, I mean, after losing in Game 5, excuse me, I think they kind of understood that Game 6 was actually Game 7. That's the way you have to approach it. You got to come out with the focus and then the intensity that you would if, in fact, it were the final game and you had to win. And I think that's what the Lakers did in the locker room and yesterday, getting themselves mentally ready to come out as if they had to win this game. And because of that, their defense was on point. They got a big lead, held on to that lead, and the rest is history.
The great Stu Lance joining the Pizza Lakers postgame show here on 710 ESPN. Stu, you know, we look at LeBron, and I could sit here and talk about what an amazing season that he's had, but I'd love to get your perspective on this. You've seen just absolute greats play in this game, and I could go down the list from Magic to Kareem and, of course, Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. What do you think this means for LeBron James? And maybe you could tell me your appreciation for LeBron. I'm sure you already had it before he became a Los Angeles Laker, but to what degree that is now that he came here, a lot of pressure obviously on his back, and he ends up delivering a championship.
Well, when he got here, he said he was going to put the Lakers back where they belonged, and that's on top. And 3 years in, he's done just that. So I congratulate LeBron on his ability to do what he did. But more importantly, I mean, this guy is just a flat-out winner. I mean, who else has been able to do what he's been able to do for 17 years? I mean, he has just continued to play at the top of the level for his 17 years. Takes care of himself, and you know, when it comes to winning, he wins in Cleveland, he wins in Miami, he wins in Los Angeles. You know, he was asking about, maybe now I can get the respect that I deserve. And I think that might have been a little bit to do with the MVP voting for the regular season. But I think if you ask LeBron, you can change or trade one MVP for another. I think he'd keep the one that he has right now. And you want to be MVP of the NBA Finals because that usually means you've won the championship. And he's done that now 4 times.
Well, it's interesting, Stu, because it did feel like LeBron, when it was announced Giannis Antetokounmpo won and he said he only got 16 votes, you could tell. I mean, this is somebody that's obviously finding different ways to motivate himself, but just watching him through this playoff run and really all season, it's amazing. It's incredible. Still the best player in the world, doing it at age 35, and certainly next season we'll have a chance to do it again with the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to leave you with this one. Anthony Davis gets his first NBA championship. This is a player that's considered not just the present for the Lakers, but also the future. How much do you think it helps Anthony Davis to get one under his belt? Do you think it, you know, it takes some pressure off, and now this is not something that's got to loom over his head? Now he can go out there and try and become a Laker great, and we'll see what he could do over the next few years.
Well, I mean, it's one thing for Anthony to hear about it all the time before he got to the Lakers about what it's like to be an NBA champion. You know, you hear about it and you wonder, what? I wonder. But now he actually knows what that feeling is like. And quite frankly, I think he likes that feeling so much, he's going to want to experience it again and again and again. And that's sometimes the motivation to keep those great players moving forward, is the fact that they're not satisfied. And I don't think he's going to be satisfied with one. I mean, yeah, it's nice to get that one under your belt, but I don't think he's going to be satisfied at all. He's going to want to get more. And because of that, this Laker franchise is going to be in a good position.
Stu, thank you, sir. Greatly appreciate you doing it. Congratulations to you as well. I know since 1987, the color commentator for the Los Angeles Lakers. Thank you for taking the time and giving us your thoughts on the championship.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you.
All right, that's Stu Lance right there. Love me some Stu Lance. It's 1987, the color commentator for the Los Angeles Lakers. He's seen amazing Laker teams. Obviously, he's seen amazing Laker players. And you heard him just continuing to... it is funny. He mentions LeBron about making sure LeBron gets his respect. It's like, man, if you don't have respect for LeBron James, you're just not watching NBA basketball and you're not appreciating one of the greats to ever do it. Let me squeeze in a couple quick calls here. Let's go to, by the way, give me your thoughts when I take your call on just how you feel about this Los Angeles Lakers championship. And I also want to hear some Laker fans hit a little bit on what LeBron James has accomplished in such a short period of time with this organization. Let's start with Tim in Garden Grove. Tim, thank you for calling, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
Oh, thanks so much, Alan. I do got to say, talking about LeBron, I got to drop a Camus quote on everyone. In the depth of winter, mm-hmm. I finally learned that within me there lay an invincible summer. Come on, Laker Nation. This one's sweet. This one's for Kobe. 2020 has been tough. It's just all about hard work, fortitude, and brother, are we so lucky to have LeBron James on this team? I think he said it best. Thank God his shoulders are broad because he was able to carry this team. Amazing day, Laker Nation. We deserve this. 2020. Come on, baby. Bring it to me.
Tim, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you calling in. All right, more of your guys' phone calls when we come back. Steve Mason will join us at 9:30. 10 p.m., Ramona Shelburne is going to join as well. So we'll continue to keep this Los Angeles Lakers conversation going. Laker fans, start lining up these phone lines. Again, I want to go back to this. LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you get that duo again next season. If you're a Laker fan out there, how good do you feel about what this Lakers team can accomplish in the 2020-2021 season? Actually, probably just be 2021 if they do start in January. All that coming up next. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I had a great tweet that I want to read here from Magic Johnson. He says, Rob Pelinka really made me feel good tonight, reaching out after the Lakers won the NBA championship. It means the world to me because I know he's in the middle of celebrating with all the Laker players, coaches, and Jeannie Buss. He didn't have to. You know, it is great to just kind of see the last thing you want to see with this organization. One of the greats, Magic Johnson. You want to make sure that connection is still there. And let's give Magic Johnson also credit. A lot of people think that he had a lot to do with bringing LeBron James here. And, you know, certainly once you got LeBron, that was the big piece. Once you had him, it could be a domino effect from there. And that's what it's been for the Los Angeles Lakers. So you like to see that relationship is still solid with Magic Johnson. Okay, let me take a couple calls. And I want to set up what I want the conversation to be about. 877-710-ESPN. I do want to spend a little bit of time on LeBron James. LBJ comes to the Los Angeles Lakers. He promises to try and bring back an NBA championship, get the Lakers where they're supposed to be, and he delivers. You know, all the chat about, well, you know, what LeBron accomplished, and it was in the Eastern Conference. It wasn't in the Western Conference. Or he's not going to be able to make it happen. Or, you know, that injury that he had with his groin injury last season, that certainly stopped the Lakers. Plus, they had a lot of young players on there. But once Anthony Davis came, they had a legitimate opportunity. So I hope Laker fans now can appreciate and enjoy. I love this a couple days ago. I love that chatter that LeBron said, Laker fans only care about one thing, and they're only going to give you respect if you win an NBA championship. They don't care what you accomplished anywhere else. And LeBron James now can say that he did accomplish a championship and got the Lakers a ring, and championship number 17 one day will go up at Staples Center, and it's because the greatest player in the world came to play for the Los Angeles Lakers. All right, let's go with Colin in Calabasas. Colin, thank you for calling in, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. Just so excited for the Lakers, so excited for the city of Los Angeles tonight. This series with the Heat, I think they were able to snuff out the greatness that we've seen all season in this team. But tonight they showed us why they deserve to win. Mm-hmm. LeBron has been the one constant through it all. You know, no matter how everybody else is playing, he has always lived up to his greatness. And he delivered on his promise to bring this city a championship.
Yeah, and I think too, Colin, I appreciate you calling in. I do think there's something to that. I think there's something about Laker fans who, look, we've got a chance to see arguably the best players in the world in the history of the NBA. So many of them come from the Los Angeles Lakers. But only one thing matters for Laker fans. Are you helping this organization stack up another championship, or are you not? And LeBron certainly came through. Let's go to Frank in East L.A. Frank, what's going on? You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
What's up, man? All I can say is, like, I'm pretty much speechless, but I'm fighting through it. This is a big moment for L.A. Just much love and respect and appreciation to LeBron for keeping his word. Like, Laker ties run deep here. I was born in 1980. We won a chip. My daughter was born in 2000. We won a chip. It's 2020. She's not pregnant. I'm not a grandpa, but we winning a chip, and it's all good, baby. And LeBron was, like, I appreciated what LeBron said. Nobody wanted to respect us. They didn't respect him, the coach, our bench, our franchise, our fan base. And he went out there and he took that respect while everybody was trying to prompt up these other teams, right, to replace us. You know, I'm not going to say that other team's name because we all know what happened there, right? But, you know, they didn't live up to the hype, and it is what it is, the Lakers, baby. We're back on top, and it feels good. Much love and appreciation to
Frank,
LeBron.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you for calling in. You know, it is something. I will say that Stu said this. Stu Lance joined just a few minutes ago. He talked about how LeBron is just a winner, period. I mean, I don't know how you want to put it. He's just a winner. This is an organization that's just accustomed to winning. And if you don't win, it's unacceptable. That doesn't happen that much in sports. It really doesn't. I mean, franchises go 30 years without winning a championship. Some franchises in sports have never won a championship. Cities have never won a championship. And the Lakers just continue to do so. All right, one more quick call, and then I want to go to Rajon Rondo. Brian in Woodland Hills. What's going on, Brian? You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
Hey, man. Super pumped we got the win tonight. It's a great night for the city of L.A. Thank you for taking my call. I just, I'm thinking it's never too early to start thinking dynasty. What pieces do you think we need to keep on this team to make us go for number two, hopefully number three? I think Rondo, KCP, Dwight, we need to re-sign.
Brian, appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you calling in. Man, I'll tell you what, the next couple of days, I'm back on tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with Travis Rogers, and that's going to be a big part of our conversation. It's just talking about how the Lakers can keep this thing going. And then I got Lakers talk tomorrow night, and that conversation will keep going. There's definitely some pieces that are just championship pieces that I'm sure are going to be important to try and keep on this roster. And there's some tweaks, too, that the Lakers will have to make. But we will get into that conversation as we go. And I'll say for this Los Angeles Lakers team, yeah, they're 100% a team that has the making to do it again next season. Speaking of a player that came through, not just tonight, but came through in the postseason, Rajon Rondo. Let's hear from Rajon Rondo in his second NBA championship. By the way, Rajon, Amanda Brown pointed this out, Rajon Rondo helped the Celtics get championship number 17. Then he helps the Lakers get championship number 17. All right, no more for the Celtics. Only with the Lakers now. Here's Rajon Rondo.
Rob was just describing a moment in a meeting you guys had, I guess, between games 5 and 6, where you said this team needs to be a defensive team first to win a championship. How did you see that realized tonight, and what are you most proud of from that aspect of your performance?
This attention to detail, the way we were locked in tonight, especially on the defensive end. We didn't make too many mistakes tonight, and when we did, we quickly corrected it. And defensively, it was an all 5-guy effort. You know, like I said, the coaching game plan was right on point. And we knew if we put it together for 48 minutes, we were able to come out and have a defensive game like we did tonight.
Gary Washburn. Go ahead, Gary.
John, it's been 12 years since you did this. I mean, can you kind of discuss the road? I mean, you thought it would probably happen every year in the late, but just that time you know, with all the ups and downs. Can you kind of, how do you reflect on that? So I know it's soon, but how do you, what's going through your mind?
Just, I've been through a lot in my career. Everyone goes through a lot of, you know, play the game this long, 14 years. And I had early success. A lot of great teammates early, great coaching staffs early. And I thought that's what the NBA was. You know, then obviously down the road, year 10, 11, things changed for me in my career. Every time going into training camp, you weren't expected to win a championship because of the teams I was on. So that was a different mindset coming into the season. So, but able to get back to this, you know, this season in particular, understanding that we did have a team to compete for a championship from day one, and to be able to come full circle an entire year later, you know, we reached our goal and our dream. So it's been a long time for me. Last time I was in a situation, obviously the results didn't turn out as well. So being able to come back and redeem myself and play a big part in this championship is definitely a hell of a feeling and something I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. And then also being able to experience with my son here. So you know, I'm very blessed to do it. While he's able to understand, you know, at 9 years old, soon to turn nine, that, you know, his dad's a champ and he's able to witness it. You know, 12 years ago, he wasn't born when I won. So for him to be here and my daughter at home watching, it's definitely a surreal feeling.
Jeff Silkin.
Rajon, this team has some veterans, but also young players. What role did the veterans play in terms of helping this team be mentally strong, especially when it came to the bubble circumstances?
Just leading by example. You know, it's not too much as far as what we said. It was how we did it. Every day with the consistency as far as taking care of your body, you know, getting lifts in every day, doing things that you don't want to do or what it takes to become a champion or to become a veteran and a great player in this league. So we didn't really do it too much vocally. You know, when they asked questions, we obviously gave them the answers. But like I said, me, myself personally, you know, I know Brian does it. You know, it's just discipline and understanding what it takes to stay in this game for a long time and taking care of your body and getting to the top. You know, discipline and hard work.
Back to you, Will, for questions.
Great, thank you. Tanya?
I saw you out on the court surrounded by confetti with your son, I think, running around there. How much does he... I mean, we've seen him before asking you if you're going to be on SportsCenter tonight. Like, how much does he understand about how big of a moment this is?
He definitely understands. And 2 nights ago, I feel like I let him down. You know, he was pretty pissed that we didn't finish the job 2 nights ago. And I didn't sleep well that night. He didn't sleep well. So for him to understand that, you know, the magnitude of, you know, what we're in and being a part of it, I think the first question he asked me when we won, he was like, when do I get my ring? So I'm extremely excited to be able to get his size, his ring size, and order him one as well. So it's definitely a surreal moment. He definitely understands what's going on. And just like I said, I'm a proud dad.
We're going to take a couple more. Andy Kamenetsky.
Hey, Rajon, you guys as a team have been very open about wanting to win this championship to pay tribute to Kobe. And you're somebody who competed against him at the highest level, highest stakes. What does it mean to you, A, to have succeeded with that, but also to have had his respect? Because he talked openly about really the respect that he had for you.
This definitely, you know, obviously winning for Kobe has been on my mind for a while. Just the respect he's given me throughout my career and understanding, you know, I've watched him for so many years and try to mimic how he controls the game. He does his with scoring, but, you know, if you look at every other aspect of his game, it's elite as well. So he's a basketball savant, was a basketball savant, one of the greatest minds I've ever played with. And being on the court with him, competing at a high level, his grit, his grind, the way he played every possession was definitely an honor to play against a guy like that and helped me elevate my game at a young age. You know, I got to compete against a Kobe Bryant when I was 21, so you know, his game, his legacy speak for itself. So me being a kid from Louisville, Kentucky, to be able to compete with Kobe 2 years in the league, and understand and learn so much from him by watching his film and studying him is definitely an honor. And to come full circle and to win in his honor, his daughter's honor, unbelievable season that what we've had, and to be able to prevail and, you know, stay focused and continue to get the job done. It's definitely, I know something he's definitely smiling down on us, and we're able to, you know, fulfill our dream and succeed and with the championship.
Last one on my side, and then back to you all. Sean Hyken.
Rajan, you've now won a title both in this kind of weird, you know, unusual bubble environment and in kind of more of a normal environment. Which one was harder, and which one, and like, what are kind of the differences between them, like the road to get to each one of them?
This one by far is the hardest one. You know, family's everything, and not being able to see your family for so long, you know, it takes a toll on you mentally. And, you know, like I said, us, we're not on eating normal food as far as our normal routine regimens. I didn't eat today, so it's, you know, it's, that was taking a toll on the mind and the body. Proper rest, you know, not sleeping in your proper beds on a certain schedule. So it was a lot different. People may say travel was different or no fans, but mentally this one was tough. Like I said, being here for 100 days, I was fortunate, you know, to, well, not fortunate, but, you know, I had an injury, so I went home for a while. But the time I did spend here, you know, the best thing about it was just being with my teammates every day and winning. So it was an experience, you know, once in a lifetime, hopefully. I'll get things back to normal. But other than that, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. You know, it was all worth it. At the end of the day, we came here for a mission and we accomplished it. So regardless of how bad people may think it was or what it was actually, but we got the W, we got the chip. Can't take it from us. We definitely earned it.
All right, Jim, you guys can finish off there.
All right, one more question here to Gary Washburn.
John, physically, I mean, you tore your ACL and that puts you back. Can you talk about, like, what you were able to do over the physically to keep at this high level? I mean, obviously, your body, you get older and that happens, but then you had to go through some stuff physically, obviously, with your hands also and wrists, but also the knee.
I mean, well, no, this is keep believing in God, you know, keep believing in my family and having a great supporting cast and just having the discipline and work ethic to stay through it, you know, stay through the tough times. And, you know, my mentor, Doug Bibby, always told me cream rise to the top. And I've, like I said, it's been a rocky last couple seasons. You know, we didn't get to the playoffs last year. A couple years ago, a teammate got hurt, exited early in the playoffs. So, I mean, just staying the course, you know, never too high, never too low, and continue to grind. Like I said, I pride myself on how hard I work. People that know me know how, you know, how dedicated I am to this game and my mind and my body, the work I put in the off season, and it's definitely a blessing to be able to come out and, you know, reap the benefits of what I've been working for so long.
All right, that's Rajan Rondo right there. By the way, how much do you love listening to everything that he said? This dude came up so clutch in the postseason for the Los Angeles Lakers, not just tonight, not just in the series, but when we were playing the Houston Rockets, against Denver, he was clutch. And, you know, that term that they use, playoff Rondo, this dude came through in the playoffs and was so big down the stretch for the Lakers. They needed somebody consistently, a third guy consistently. They got it with Rajan Rondo. Okay, more of your phone calls when we come back. 877-710-ESPN. Laker fans, what do you think? You think this team is primed and ready to do it again next season? Do you think out of all the teams and the talent around the NBA right now, Lakers will be the favorite to win championship number 18 next season? We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll take your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. O'Shea Jackson Jr. coming up at 10. Ramona Shelburne coming up at 10:30. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, I want to hear from Laker fans. Laker fans that are out there, by the way, whether you're driving around or you're listening on the ESPN app or iTunes or you're on ESPN Los Angeles on any of our social platforms, we greatly appreciate it as always, and we appreciate it all season long. Let's go to Buzz in Chicago. Buzz, appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
All right. Thank you very much. I just want to give props to Coach Vogel. I admit I was not wild about his hiring, but he has proved me wrong in a major way. He has managed to use our role players in ways that I could not even imagine. We are not a deep team. We're a top-heavy team. But he has found a way to put the right role players in the right spot to win. And that means putting JaVale McGee, that means putting Dwight Howard in prominent roles when it suits the team, and then pulling them back and not even playing them when it's not the right time to play them.
So, well, Buzz, here's a perfect example. Spot. Buzz, perfect example. Thank you for calling in. I'm going to get some more calls in, but how about tonight deciding that Alex Caruso was going to go in the starting lineup? Michael and I were doing the pregame show, and, you know, that one was a little bit of a surprise. I wasn't expecting that. Wait, don't you want the size of Dwight Howard? Don't you want that physicality? And he made calls like that all season long against the Rockets, decided, you know what, I'm taking Dwight Howard out of the lineup. I'm not even going to use him. And JaVale McGee, I'm going to start Markieff Morris. He made adjustments throughout the season where it's good to see head coach Frank Vogel. And for somebody who's got a chance to have conversations with him, listen to him on the Zoom calls, obviously listen to him after every postgame show, he's an easy guy to root for. I mean, you're rooting for a coach where all he cares about, he's not looking for any individual accolades. He just wants his team to win. And coach delivered in year one for the Los Angeles Lakers. How about Roy in Seattle? Roy, I appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on the postgame show. How you doing, Roy?
Hey, two quick thoughts. The first is, if you would have told me 3 or 4 years ago that LeBron James, Rajon Rondo, and Dwight Howard were going to be key pieces in us winning that 17 title, I probably would have laughed in your face. And the second thought is, just as a kid that grew up in Orange County in the early 90s through the 2000s, I've loved Kobe Bryant my entire life. Kobe, this was for you, baby.
Thank you for the call, Roy. Appreciate it, man. I'm sure a lot of Laker fans feel the same way. You know, we got a chance just to stay on that Kobe topic for a quick second. We've heard a lot of the players, the coaching staff, the organization talk about how important this would be and how great it would feel for them if they were to win an NBA championship and honor Kobe Bryant and Gigi Bryant, the Bryant family. And you know, it's not just Laker players, or it's not just the Laker organization. I mean, really just around all of sports, everybody wanted to find ways to honor the great, late, the legend Kobe Bryant. And I do look at players like Anthony Davis, LeBron James, how many times they would say it'd be very meaningful. And I hated putting something like that on their back to say that, you know, they're doing it for something along those lines, but it's what they wanted, you know, and it's the way they wanted to honor the late, great Kobe Bryant. Okay, a few more phone calls here. Let's go to David in Thousand Oaks. David, I appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on the Lakers postgame show.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Hey, just want to make a quick statement based on some statements that were made about in 2014 about LeBron and Pat Riley getting into a heated argument about them departing. So I actually worked for Miami from 2008 to 2015 in the facility operations, and I happened to be right outside the office when they had their argument. And so when LeBron was leaving the door, and Pat was basically yelling at him, "You are ruining a dynasty here. Do you understand what you're doing?" And what was stated is what LeBron's last words were, what no one actually stated on the air was, what he actually said is, "Pat, my dynasty has yet to be begun, and one day I will hoist that trophy and you will be in the same arena." And he walked out and said, "I love you." And when he did that, Pat flipped over his oak table, sat in his chair, and the 7 years I worked there was the only time I ever saw Pat with tears of anger in his eyes, knowing what was departing. And that's why they said, LeBron, why was his game so important to him for game four of the series? No one understood why, is because the history between him and Pat, that it could have gone either way. If Miami would have took that game, you know, Pat, you know, there was so much history between
them. Well, David, what I'll tell you too, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing that story, but what was so important too for LeBron, and one of the things that I was rooting so much for him in game five because of that performance that he was having, but the fact that it's three different teams, three NBA championships, yeah, he did. He accomplished what he did in Miami, but then he went on and got one in, obviously got one in Cleveland, did it for the city that he's from. He did it for Ohio, and that was extremely meaningful to him. But then you come here to the Los Angeles Lakers, and for this fan base, this is everything to them. This is everything to the Los Angeles Lakers. So he's obviously able to accomplish it in a few different jerseys. Megan in Northridge. Megan, I appreciate you calling in. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
I just wanted to give a different perspective. I'm actually not a lifelong Laker fan, but a lifelong LeBron fan. So for me, the fact that he came to L.A., there was a lot of slack. He was too old. Laker fans didn't want him. A little bit of that Kobe rivalry. So for him to win in the West, 35 years old, lead, I'm not a Laker fan, but the most historical franchise in all of NBA history to a championship, makes me now a Laker fan, makes me so proud and just so happy to see him accomplish what everyone said he couldn't do.
Well, Megan, I appreciate you calling in. And it is, you know, when you hear somebody that isn't a Laker fan, I mean, we could just, you show respect to either players or organizations or coaches, you could still show respect. I mean, I'm obviously as big of a Laker fan as they come. Well, it doesn't mean I'm not going to give credit towards other teams or organizations when they're successful. And certainly LeBron, you know, we always had respect for LeBron, but it's a different level when you win a championship with a purple and gold for Laker fans. Okay, when we come back, a couple things I want to do here. I want to hear from Rob Pelinka. Rob, who put this whole thing together for the Los Angeles Lakers, put this roster together. We'll hear from Pelinka when we come back, plus more of your phone calls. O'Shea Jackson Jr. coming up at 10. Laker fans, thank you for tuning in. Keep enjoying this unbelievable championship in a year where nothing has been normal. The Lakers are the 2020 NBA champions. They now tie the Boston Celtics for 17 championships, the most in Lakers history. I'm Alan Sliwa, and this is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Just feels good right now. Just feels good right now for Los Angeles Laker fans. Miami, by the way, this playoff run or this finals run was closer than I thought anybody predicted, especially with Goran Dragic not playing, at least played very limited in Game 1, played very limited in Game 6. Bam Adebayo missed a couple games. But man, when the Lakers decided tonight to just completely lock down on the defensive end, by the time you got to halftime, you knew, all right, you could already taste it. I know us here, you know, we're kind of scrambling. Okay, what's the plan? If this happens, is that by halftime, we had the ability to, you know, obviously start celebrating. I know for a lot of Laker fans out there, we had some games where they were close, had some heartbreaking losses, but at the end, Lakers find a way to beat the Miami Heat. Rob Pelinka put this whole thing together. And, you know, obviously not just Rob, but you want to give the front office credit, especially when it's easy to criticize front offices. It happens in sports all the time. But Rob Pelinka over the last year, just what he accomplished and some of the different, you know, certainly some of the different moves that he made. Let's take a listen to Rob Pelinka, get his thoughts on the Los Angeles Lakers finding a way to get an NBA championship. And Rob Pelinka, obviously a big reason to do with that.
Rob, you know, LeBron just described that you told him to do whatever it takes. Obviously, with a franchise like the Lakers, with a player like LeBron, that's a lot of pressure. You know, what was your mindset going into building the team, and how has it worked out to sort of what you envisioned?
I think the chance to build a team around one of the greatest players and leaders to ever play just doesn't come along that often. So when he committed to us, it was a mutual trust. He showed trust in Genie, in our front office, to build a championship team. And once he put that trust in us, we had to deliver. There was no other option. And to be able to do this for him and Anthony Davis as our captains is special. But obviously, you guys know, 2020 has been a tragic and very difficult year in many ways with what happened on January 26th. And I think Kobe and Gianna have guided this team the entire year. Kobe's voice is always in my head, always, every day, every minute. And I think to be able to, for LeBron and Anthony and Coach Vogel and myself and Genie, for us to be able to win this championship, doesn't take away the sting of the loss, but what it does is it helps us add to their legacy, Kobe and Gianna's legacy will last forever. It will impact lives around the world in positive ways. And this championship, this Lakers championship in 2020, is partly to build on that legacy and honor them. And for us to be able to do that, the moment couldn't be any more special to do that for them.
Rob, when you tried to find a coach for this team, the process was pretty public and it was up and down. How grateful are you that it landed where it landed? And I'm just kind of curious of what you thought, how Frank kind of managed these last 3 months here.
We're so blessed and fortunate to be able to work with Frank Vogel. I think that he's an amazing collaborator. And I think in this era of basketball, you have to be able to collaborate. The head coach and the front office and your star players have to be a perfect triangle. And that's what we have. He's amazing at that. We're always giving each other input and listening to the voice of LeBron and Anthony, and it works. I think the thing in studying him and Kurt Rambis as a former coach of the Lakers was so helpful. But in studying Frank Vogel, we knew that the DNA of his teams was defense first. And so when we built this roster, we really wanted to thread the needle of having guys that complemented AD and LeBron, not just from an offensive or shooting standpoint, but guys that knew how to defend. And if you look at our run in the bubble, Portland, Houston, Denver, and this great Miami team, the coaching staff had a different defensive attack and game plan for each of those theories. And that takes some brilliance. And thankfully we had a versatile roster where we could go small and defend and win. We could play big and strong with length and defend and win. But Rondo said it yesterday in our team meeting. He said, if we're going to win a championship, it has to be with defense, period. And I think what we saw tonight was just a defensive showing of force, tied together with a great game plan by Frank Vogel and his staff. And so we're honored to work with a basketball mind like his.
Hey, Rob, congrats. Last June, you pull off the trade to acquire Anthony, and you have LeBron and Anthony, and that's a heck of a head start. But there's so much that needs to be done to get to this point. What was it like having the benefit of having those two great players, but then having the pressure of making sure you do whatever you do to surround them in the right way to get to here?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people think that trades are easy in the NBA. If you talk to any of the other 29 GMs, and there's some really, really good ones that I get to work alongside of, any trade, especially for a superstar, is incredibly difficult and challenging, filled with intricacies and issues that the general public might never really understand. The dynamics of pulling off superstar trades are very, very challenging. And so when they take weeks of hard work, and we were thankful when we acquired Anthony, but we knew the work wasn't done once we paired LeBron and AD together. And last season, of course, we had cap space to add another max player. But we went into that with and Kobe was such a great mentor of me in terms of, he always talked about his counters, you know, like in 1 year, maybe he would dominate with, you know, a fadeaway. And so then the next year he'd come back and teams would say, hey, we have to take away his fadeaway. So he'd work on a spin move and attack the rim. So it was always about counters. And so in free agency last year, we had, obviously we made a run to acquire a max free agent, but we had a counter, we had a backup plan. And I knew we had a way to pivot and build the team with the other players we were able to acquire. And it worked out well, obviously. But it was hard work. It wasn't just happenstance, like, oh, let's go sign a bunch of guys. So our front office, I can't take credit, because we have a front office of a lot of incredibly hardworking, bright people in our basketball operations department. And it takes a village to have success, and all those people helping with that plan, it came together, and here we are. We're, you know, the ultimate with a 2020 championship.
All right, that's Rob Pelinka right there. By the way, I mean, how about Pelinka coming through for the Los Angeles Lakers? How about Rob with his vision and some of the role? But you heard Dave McMenamin ask a question about, okay, so you had LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but how are you going to fit the rest of the roster and make sure that you got the right role players to complement? I mentioned this to Michael. I said, Michael, if these role players come through tonight, then the Lakers are going to win championship number 17. That's how critical these role players are, and we've seen it in Lakers history. Role players are everything, so hats off to Rob Pelinka as well. And I'll tell you this, Laker fans, this is not a one-year run. This is not one of those runs where, you know, you think, okay, that's it. They got to start rebuilding. No. Lakers, LeBron's got two more years left in his career. In his current contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. If they win an NBA championship this season like they did, and he's still the best player in the world, and AD's only going to get better, and other veterans and role players may want to come play for the Los Angeles Lakers and chase a ring as well, the rest of the NBA is going to, they're going to have a headache for the next couple of years against the Los Angeles Lakers. O'Shea Jackson Jr. coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.